Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 463. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're absolutely free. Let us know, whether you want a CD or an audio tape. We have strong scriptures for you today. We've got the continuation of the way that Moses and Miriam were gloating over the fact that the Lord had destroyed their enemies. And so this is, to me, very Christian, to be happy when I would rejoice when the Lord delivers you from your enemies. And the Lord will do that if you just get yourself saved, get the Lord living in your spirit, and pray without ceasing. Keep all the commandments. Don't break any of the commandments, because when you do that, the Lord will not honor you with deliverance. Right now, we have some songs, we have letters, and some Bible reading. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this program. Father, anoint this program. Send down your spirit, anoint, let everything that is done in the program, Lord, be from you directly, that souls will be saved, that Satan will be ruined, will be rebuked, and that the church will be edified. Lord, that people that are starving in the world, that are innocent, let them receive it. Let them receive your word that you may feed them and clothe them and house them. The things that are going on in the world today, Lord, are so vast that there's no way that we can handle it all. I don't think that the billionaires could handle it, but you can. You feed the sparrows, you clothe the lilies, you feed us all, Lord. Lord, do this and show your mighty power throughout the entire universe, as you have so many times, Lord, and you'll do it again. For we ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now we have a song here. It's called The Old Rugged Cross, and that's the actual center post of the whole Bible. There's no possible way that we can do the work of the Lord without carrying the cross. There's no possible way that we can receive a move from the Lord without carrying the old rugged cross. We come to the cross for salvation. We actually are raised from the dead. Our dead spirits are given new life. As a matter of fact, we get a new spirit from the Lord, and He lives inside of it. And this all happens when we come to the cross, and we continue carrying the cross. You say, after we're saved, now take up your cross, deny yourself daily, and follow me, because you are my friend if you do everything I say. And Father, you give us everything that we need in this world. We follow you. Everyone say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, here's the old rugged cross.
The end of suffering.
Praise the Lord. All right, we have some letters here today. Where's the first one from?
From Chile.
All right, let's hear what they have to say.
Esteemed pastor and servant of God, Tony Alamo, greetings and blessings from the Lord be upon you and your work. I would like to request a new quantity of literature, which I need as soon as possible. I need it in a hurry, because in 3 days I distributed 2 boxes of literature, so if you can please send more of the following. About 2 boxes with an assortment of your newsletters, please, and 1 box in German, 15 Bibles, 100 Messiah books, and quite a bit of the Bible lectures on CD. This would be all for now, and thanks to your literature, souls are being saved, and people are being blessed. It is such an excellent literature for people to devote themselves to read daily. I am learning so much. Pray for my family. This will be all for now. Thank you, and I will be waiting for the above requests to arrive as soon as possible. Your brother in the faith, Jose, from Yanquihue, Chile.
All right. Where's the next one from?
From Nigeria, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Alamo, Calvary greetings to you and the entire family members of your ministries. I am deeply touched, having read through your world newsletters, and I am beginning to wonder whether you are the St. Paul of our era, simply because you are a fearless preacher of the gospel according to our Lord God. Pastor, permit me to confess openly that when I received your world newsletters, there were only 3 days left before I was going to commit suicide over a dreadful debt I owed, which, according to the agreement, I was without hope or sources to liquidate the debt since my business had crumbled. However, after having read your spiritual and consecrated newsletters, which were sent to me, I became assured in my Lord Jesus Christ, and hope was restored to me again. Sir, I am requesting an incessant supply of your world newsletters, prayers, and any possible assistance. Your eager listener, Ina Tiku, from Ole, Nigeria, Africa.
All right, now we have to pay very, very, very strict attention to this. That Paul did not say, quote, one soul with the Lord. We have to become one spirit with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus, who is the risen Lord, is the life-giving spirit. That's 1 Corinthians 15:45. His union, his spirit, he gives us a new spirit, and then he enters into our spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and abides there. He lives there with us. His union with us, those of us who believe, is therefore a union with us, the believers' spirits. All the believers. He gives us a new spirit and dwells there. The soul, which is actually the seat of man's personality, belongs to the natural man, not the supernatural man. It's natural. You know, everybody in the world is doing their own thing. They're natural. They're fleshy sinners. All it can do and is to be is a vessel for expressing the fruit of the union between the Lord and the believers. Our inner man, nothing in our soul partakes of the Lord's life, because the soul, again, is the is not where the Lord dwells. He dwells in our spirit. Those that worship the Lord must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It is entirely in the spirit that such a union is effective. And it's so important for us to live in the spirit, because there's no possible way that we can communicate with the Lord. And if ever there was a time in history that we need to communicate with the Lord, is in these last days.
Amen.
And a soul that is without the Lord, I mean, if you take, for instance, if you've been saved in a church and you've done, this church has supported you for years and has taught you the Word of God and led you to salvation and then led you to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you decide that you don't want to live in that kind of spirit because you see other people in the world doing the things, and you start lusting because you want to be like the people of the world. You want to go out to nightclubs, you want to go out and fornicate and do homosexual acts or whatever. And you fall away, and this is a great falling away from the Lord. The Lord has not sealed people in that want to stop carrying the cross and stop denying themselves on a daily basis. The union is one of spirits with no place for the natural or the soulish or the soul life. The soul has nothing to do with that. There's no place for the natural or carnal man. No place for carnality. Should it be mixed in with the spirit, it will cause impurity to the union of spirits. That is our spirit with the Spirit of God. And the Lord will not honor that. He will depart from you if you try attempt to mix your soulish lusts, your desires. If you mix them, you think that you're going to be able to have God and also live part for Satan. Any nation taken according to our thought. You see the actions of these different nations. So any action or any nation that takes according to the thought or opinions or their ideas or feelings will weaken the experiential side of this spiritual union with the Lord. The Lord will depart from you, and the state of that person will be worse than it was before they accepted the Lord into them. Because the Satan will come, he walks in dry places, and he's going to come by and take a look into the dwelling place of the Lord and see that there's nothing happening there. The Lord isn't there. It's been swept clean. It's been garnished. And there's no resistance to Satan there. And therefore, the enemy comes back into the temple of God and brings seven other devils worse than the ones, that first one that was cast out. And the last estate of that man is far worse than the first. Okay, because people become like the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Ezekiel 16, verses 49 and 50 says, Behold, this was the sin of thy sister Sodom. Does it mention homosexuality first, or fornication, or any of these things? No, the first thing that Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 and 50 says, Behold, this was the iniquity or the sin of thy sister Sodom. It's not homosexual, it's pride. Fullness of bread. In other words, people today, they don't miss meals. If you do, the satanic government will give you some. And therefore, people become idle. So the sins, the things that cause Sodom and Gomorrah to be destroyed was pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. Go on picnics, go fishing, go to nightclubs, go here and there, and just live that kind of a life. Abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. There were four other cities besides Sodom that were destroyed with the brimstone, the fire and brimstone. and God brought them down to ashes. Neither did she strengthen the hand. In other words, the people in this world don't strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. You see some people that do good and do this, people like our church and other churches. And some people strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, but they don't preach the gospel to them. And so that's it helps them temporarily, but it really doesn't do anything for the soul, because if they have a full stomach, all the wrinkles are out of their belly, and they die, they still go to the pit of hell. And that, my friend, is not a very happy thought whatsoever, because if the people in this world were living in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, they had no air conditioning back there. We have air conditioning. They didn't have any air conditioning churches back there. We have air conditioned churches. They didn't have the variety of food that we have today. We have the variety of food. They didn't have any automobiles with air conditioning in them, but we have all these things. So, and they didn't have the Bible preached to them. They didn't have any Bible really back then. And we have the Bible. We have Christian radio. We have Christian television. There's some TV programs that are Christian that don't just preach, you know, the way that most of them preach. And we have all sorts of Christian literature and books. And these people had none. That's why the Lord says it'll be more tolerable when the Lord comes back to earth for Sodom and the four other cities than it will be for the people of this day and age, because they're hearing Christian, they have their Bibles. They didn't. They have the Christian radio and TV, they got the books, all the different literature and everything that they have, and they still will not repent. So the people in Sodom and Gomorrah will have an excuse, but the people in the world today don't have any excuse. Amen?
Amen.
So the sin of the iniquity of these people in Sodom was pride. Just look at the pride that people have here today, and fullness of bread and abundance of idleness was in here. This is the Lord calls this sin. Amen?
Amen.
And in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty. And they committed something. Didn't they commit fornication and homosexual acts?
Amen.
And here are all these homosexuals and lesbians and bisexuals have the Bible. And they committed abominations before me, saith the Lord. Therefore I took them away as I saw good, the Lord said. Now, he said he would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he allowed the people this day and era to go into heaven. So, you people, you have no excuse. The gospel is preached to you. Likewise, also, this is Luke 17:28-30. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot. Now, Lot, the Lord told Lot to get out of Sodom. Amen?
Amen.
Get out of there, because I'm going to destroy the city. He says, go to your loved ones and, you know, and have them go with you. Remember Lot's wife. You don't want to look back at that old life of sin that you were living, or that luxury, which they call luxury back then. We have super luxury today, super idleness, and lots of food and everything, air conditioning. We live in a life of ease, but they used to call it the life of Riley. And so many people are striving for that so they can just kick back and not do anything. I'm 73 years old and putting up with all kinds of persecution now for 43 years. And I don't believe that I can ever retire from being doing what I do. I must continue on doing what I do to the end. Amen?
Amen.
Or else I will be a castaway. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Apostle Paul the aged. He said, if I stop doing what I'm doing, if I preach not this gospel, then I too will become a castaway. And what difference would it be if you were not a Sodomite? If you're in hell for idleness or whatever, which was also the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, pride and idleness and fullness of bread. All these different things that... and they had all these things in Sodom and Gomorrah, but they didn't have what we have. Amen?
Amen.
Man, I can leave my air-conditioned home. Most people can leave their air-conditioned home and get into their air-conditioned automobile and go into the air-conditioned Walmart and do their shopping and go to the air-conditioned mall and gaze at the different sumptuous things that they see. Then they can get into their, go to their air-conditioned office and use their telephones and their, all the different appliances that we have today. And, there's so much distraction today, far more than Sodom and Gomorrah, but we have far more Bible as well. Amen?
Amen.
They didn't have Bible. Likewise also, this is Luke 17:28-30. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, mangiare, amen, mangiare, oho, that's what everybody's doing. Go down to Shakey's Pizza Parlor or wherever you go, and take the wife and kids to McDonald's or Wendy's and get within a few minutes get something good to eat. Extra pickles please, extra onions, and put some mustard on and some mayonnaise and where do we get the ketchup? Oh, over here, yes, we have all the kudiments. I wonder if they had ketchup at Sodom. Do you think so?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they might have, but I don't know. I don't think they ate their food in air-conditioned facilities. Amen?
Amen.
I don't think so. So likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they didn't eat, they drank, they bought, but not in air-conditioned places. Amen?
Amen.
They sold. But I don't think they had newspapers that had the classified in there where they sold the stuff, or Google. Amen?
Amen.
I didn't think they had that. They planted. They didn't have these automatic planters either. And they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. You know, it was turned to ashes, those cities. Literal ashes. And there's like fireballs in those ashes. They're red. You can pick up some and put them in your pocket. And if you put them in a piece of metal, on a piece of metal, like a spoon or a fork or something, and touch it off, it gets such a fervent heat in it, the brimstone, that's what it is brimstone, that it actually burns itself right through a spoon, a knife, a fork, or any kind of metal. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In other words, this is saying that God is going to rain down fire and brimstone on the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When the Son of Man is revealed. So Jude, verses 5 through 10 says, I will therefore put you in remembrance. The reason that these ashes are still there and also brimstone is because God wants us to remember it. He made it visible all these years. All these many years, it's still visible. Though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, he saved his chosen people out of the land of Egypt, but afterwards he destroyed them that believed not. And so, you have more Bible, you've got more TV and radio to hear gospel programs, and you have all sorts of literature, books, and magazines on it. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, God hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great judgment day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, which were four others, five cities altogether, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after a strange flesh, and this is talking about men with men, women with women, men with animals, and women with animals, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion. They hate the dominion, the government of God, and speak evil of dignities. People like myself that are preaching this gospel to you. We're to be dignified, not persecuted. Amen?
Amen.
We're to be dignified, not made have people bring false accusations about us, lie about us, and send us off to prison the way that they did me for years for preaching the gospel, and what they're doing to Buster and many other people. They're saying, we want to break the church. What we want to do is send Buster to prison with false accusations. But Buster, they say, wait a minute, all this can go away if you'll just stop going to Tony's church. Well, Buster says, no way. I've seen so many miracles over at that church, and I know that Tony's preaching the truth. He says, there's no way that I'm going to roll over for you people. Yet, Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Well, what the devil wanted to do is, God hid Moses because the Jews would have made an idol out of him, his body. They would have built big monuments unto Moses, and they would have bowed down and worshipped it. And the Lord doesn't like idolaters. He doesn't like people that make images of saints, which they call saints, that are, most of them are really not saints. Durst not bring against him, even the angel would not bring a railing accusation, but said, and this is another example of how to pray, the Lord rebuke thee. Pray to the Lord that God will rebuke Satan if you're saved. If you are not saved, if you're not born again of the Spirit, if Christ is not living in you with his Father by the Spirit, in your new spirit, which God promises to give all those that call unto him, well, then there's no way God is going to answer your prayers. If you've got loved ones in prison that were there for something that they didn't do, if you serve the Lord, God will get those people out of prison. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know, actually, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. People corrupt themselves. 2 Peter 2:6, chapter 2, verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an an example unto those that after should be live ungodly. So they're an example unto us. Well, how could it be an example that happened a long time ago? Because you can go over there right now, and there's ashes where those cities were. It's ashes, and there's actually brimstone mingled in with the ashes. You can start sorting it out, and you'll find little red balls. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Which I mentioned before. And they burn, and they burn right through metal because they are brimstone. Now, Isaiah 3:9. The shew of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. People are declaring their sin. They're proud that they're homosexuals. Somebody says they're homosexual, and you hear them applauding, like we're all supposed to be tolerant to this. When God says he shows an example of the way that he hates them by turning their whole cities into ashes. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody vaporized right in front within just like seconds. They vaporized. They were no more. They turned to ashes. The buildings, everything turned to ashes. The whole world is going to burn with a fervent fire. And everything is going to vaporize in this world. Except those of us that know the Lord and keep his commandments. He says, you're my friend if you keep my commandments. Amen?
Amen.
But if you don't, woe unto you. They hide. They declare their sin as Sodom did. They live openly, sporting themselves before the entire world with their filthy sins. And because of gain, these people that are working in Washington, D.C. for the suspension of homosexuals and all these other special interest groups, these women that they want to demand to do, are you going to let us murder? Are you going to let us murder our children? Are you? Because if you're not, we're not voting for you, okay? Well, then I don't want anybody to vote for me then, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not going to comply with these rotten, filthy people that are seeking votes of reprobate people. You people will see the doomsday. You're going to know that what I was saying was right.
Amen.
And what the Bible says is right. They don't hide the fact that they're sodomites. They don't hide it, it says. They declare their sin as Sodom did. They hide it not. They're just sporting the fact that they're a bunch of reprobates, and people applaud them for it. Well, we'll just show that we can be reprobates. You can say that all you want, but you're going to pay for it, okay?
Amen.
Dearly, because you're going to suffer throughout eternity. Now, it may be fun for a moment. This life is over. It's like a vapor, a piece of grass that the sun wilts away, a shadow, and you're going to face God. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. You people are hanging yourselves. That shows how bright you are. You're not bright at all. You're idiots, according to the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now Ezekiel 39:6 says, and I will send a fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So this is the people of Egypt did. You know, the people of Egypt, they were that way, and they had a bunch of us Jews as their slaves out there in Africa. But God favored us and not the Africans. Amen?
Amen.
I see people saying, was Moses a black man? No, Moses was not a black man. It says he was a Hebrew, and they were killing Hebrews, the black men. The Egyptians were murdering little Jewish boys. And the people cried out to God, and God came and delivered them and killed the firstborn of every one of those Africans. Amen?
Amen.
You know, Egypt is Africa. Any action taken according to our thought, our opinions, or our ideas, feelings, will weaken the experiential side of this spiritual union with the Lord and ourselves. Things that are of the same nature unite perfectly. If you're like God, if you believe the way He does, then you will be united perfectly with God. I'll repeat it. There are things that are of the same nature unite themselves perfectly with one another. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're the same nature as God, you will unite perfectly with Him. But if you're not the same nature of God, you're not going to ever unite with Him, and you're not going to be with Him in heaven. In so much as the Spirit of the Lord is pure, ours, those of us that are washed in the blood and filled with the Spirit in our new spirit, likewise needs to be as pure in order to be united truly with the Lord. Now they say no one can be perfect. Well, whoever says that is a big liar. They're devils. Because what they do is fashion themselves into the likeness of angelic people, and they're preaching lies to people. And they seem so deceptive to people that are not saved, because they don't know the Word of God, and so they're easily deceived. If we, as believers, cling to our own wonderful ideas, which they're not wonderful, I'm being facetious, and are unwilling to lay aside our preference and opinions, our union with the Lord will not be expressed in experience. The union of spirits, in other words, our spirit with the Lord's spirit, permits no adulteration from anything soulish or fleshly. The Lord's Spirit will not permit us to be carnal, because He won't live in us if we are carnal. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And to the people out there that talk slang language, you dig? That's what I'm saying. You dig, man? You dig on the haps? Huh? Okay. Women, law is this union. How is it that we are able to have this union? How is it that this union takes place? Here's how it is. It is the identification with Christ in His death, and our identification with Christ and His resurrection. There isn't anybody in this church that I will permit in this church if they don't agree with the Word of God.
Amen.
And if I'm rebuking and reproving somebody, and people cry and mourn because I'm doing it, because it's their loved ones or people that they admire, so on, I want them out of the church, okay? Because if they don't like the reproof, the rebuke, and of the Lord, then they have to leave. If they think that rebuking and reproving people and counseling them is wrong, then they don't agree with me, and so I cannot abide with them, and they will not abide with me, all right?
Amen.
They will not. If we have been united with Christ in a death like His, if we're united with Christ in a death that was like His, in other words, crucified to a cross, amen?
Amen.
We shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. That makes sense?
Amen.
Well, that's what the Bible says, amen?
That's
Romans 6, 5. Chapter 6, verse 5.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection.
Right. So we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Amen?
Amen.
This verse explains our union with the Lord is one of being united with his death and being united with his resurrection. It's simple. This simply indicates that we are completely one with him by accepting his death as our death. I want you to read it again. We enter into this union with the Lord. I'm going to say that again. Okay, so read it.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death.
If we have the same death that he has, in other words, we bear about the cross and suffer persecution and resist the devil because we don't want to be friends. We'd rather be friends with God than with people. Sweaty people at that. Then what?
We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
So we shall also be united with him in a resurrection life like him. Amen?
Amen.
Because a lot of people don't understand that by accepting his death as our death, we enter into this union with the Lord by additionally accepting his resurrection. We who have died with him shall be resurrected as well with him. So by additionally accepting his resurrection as our resurrection, we who have died with him shall be resurrected as well with him. Through faith, acceptance of his resurrection, we shall stand experientially in the place of resurrection because the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead according to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness. That's Romans 1:4. Read it.
And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead.
Right. So anyone that's perfect can be resurrected from the dead. If you're about the body of Christ, well, then you're perfect.
Amen.
Because you, where the Lord goes, you go. What the Lord does, you do. And what the Lord says, you believe. So it was made alive in the Spirit. That is our new spirit. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18.
For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit.
Yes, quickened by this the life-giving Spirit, which he is. We also, when united with the Lord Jesus Christ in resurrection, actually are united with him in his resurrected spirit. Therefore and henceforth, we are dead to everything pertaining to ourselves. And we are alive to his Holy Spirit alone. The only way that we can live is just to be united to the Lord's Holy Spirit only. Christ only, his Spirit only. This requires our exercising faith, because without faith we can't receive anything from the Lord. We can't receive the death of the cross or the resurrection unto eternal life. We don't receive anything but by faith. Once identified with his death, we lose the sinful and the natural nature. For the sinfulness and the naturalness in us is gone. Once we identify ourselves with his resurrection, we are united with his resurrection, that is, his resurrected life. Thus, our inner being, which is now united with the Lord, becomes one Spirit with him. Quote, you have died through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another. Well, he purchased us with his blood, and so therefore we belong to him. To him who has been raised from the dead. So that we serve in the new life, the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit, not the unholy spirit. So if we're in the Holy Spirit, then we're perfect so far as God says, okay?
Amen.
And you can judge us because maybe we don't look too handsome or pretty to people. You know, when we were young, we were like pretty boys, you know, and pretty girls and things like that. But we start going through carrying the cross for a few years, and you'll see a change. There'll be some changes made. Oh, yeah. There'll be some changes made. That's Romans 7, verses 4 and 6. Read.
Verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ.
Yeah, but, you know, we still have to keep the law, because if we're in the body of Christ, we're not breaking the law, and so therefore the law has nothing against us, in other words. You understand?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
That ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter.
Right, so we're delivered from the penalty of the law. That doesn't mean that we don't keep the law anymore, because if we're in the body of Christ, he didn't come to destroy the law. He keeps the law. Amen?
Amen.
And so if we're in his body, if we're one flesh with him, and we're one spirit with him, well, then we keep the commandments. Through Christ's death, we are joined to Christ by faith, even his resurrected life. Such a union enables us to serve in the new life of the Spirit of the Holy, Eternal, Immortal, Living God, free from any adulteration. Therefore, we can praise and thank the Lord because of how marvelous the cross is. The cross is the foundation for everything that's spiritual. It's impossible to be spiritual without the cross. The cross is the foundation for everything that's spiritual. The purpose and end of the cross's working is to unite people that are begin believing to their spirit, to unite the believer's spirit with the resurrected Lord into one spirit. That means to be united with the Holy Spirit. The cross must go deeply into us and rid ourselves of the sinful and the natural life within us. That's why when we become born again of the Spirit, we're just babes. When we're babes, we do baby things. When we're little children, we do childish things. But the Lord says that we must grow up to the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must become adults in the Spirit, spiritual adults. Some people never mature. That we may be joined to the positive resurrection life of the Lord, and therefore become one spirit with him. A believer's spirit together with all which is natural and transient in him needs to pass through death so that it may be purified and then united to become one spirit with the Lord in the freshness and purity of resurrection. Now this when we become adults, we put childish things away. Amen?
Amen.
We finally have to grow up in the Lord. If we do not grow up in the Lord, well, then we're like children. We stay childish all the time. So we must go on to adult things and put all the silly, childish things away. Well, I see my time is up. I wanted to read the remainder of the prayer of the Song of Moses, but the Lord redirected my tracks. I can never plan what I'm going to do, but it's time for you, if you want to have a new spirit and be united with the Lord, and experience His power. And a union with Him is quite simple. And we start out by saying this prayer. Say this prayer to the Lord. And really mean it. Because there's nothing for you unless you do become a Christian. Say to the Lord, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that You, God, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because Your word says so. Therefore, I know that You have heard me, and I know that You have answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." Now, just raise your hands up, everybody, and thank and praise the Lord, and give Him all the glory, because He couldn't possibly be saved unless you received the resurrected Spirit of the Lord. Now, in order to keep that resurrected Spirit, you must bear the cross and deny yourself. Now, there's many things that we can have, but you need to grow and learn how to rightly divide the word. And Sharon, tell them how to receive a copy, a CD, or an audio tape of program number 463.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505. Or call area code 479-782-7370, that's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for another strong, powerful message that will keep you walking in the Lord one day at a time. Amen?
Amen.
And so, you know, this world... at one of these days, heaven and earth very soon is going to be united together after the brimstone and fire is hit and everything is vaporized. And then when heaven and earth comes, we, those of us that are of the Lord, will be ruling everything here on earth and in heaven. And so therefore, all the people that are going to not be there will be burnt up like chaff. They'll be vaporized as well, but they'll be their souls will go on forever. So this land doesn't belong to them. This land belongs to us. This land is mine. This is Exodus. I'm with myself and our choir and orchestra.
Walk this land with me, and walk.